Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to Redemption High Dimensions radio broadcast. I'm Linda Shuler, the evangelist for the hour, and I praise God that you have joined together again with me on the broadcast for this morning message entitled The Kingdom of the World. Kingdom of the World. Very powerful subject today that we're going to discuss about the kingdom of the world and some things that God wants us to understand and know and be aware of, and to focus our spiritual eyes upon Him, focus our attention upon Him, and to understand, of course, what He's wanting us to be aware of as far as the kingdom of the world. But before we go into the Word of God, let's go before the throne of grace. Heavenly Father, we say thank you today for this glorious opportunity to come before your presence. We thank you, God, for all of those that have took the time to tune in. May our lives be blessed and enriched through your word, and that you, Lord God, fill us up in Holy Ghost and fill us with all the joy, the peace, and the love that we need to continue to be effective in the earth. We ask, God, that our hearts be turned towards you in every way. And Father, we just thank you as we come together to pray for those that need healing, deliverance. Let mercy triumph over judgment. Give grace, God. Release it in the lives of those and bring understanding to your word, Lord, so that they can understand more of you and what you're doing and how you're leading their lives and preparing us for that eternal destination. We appreciate every blessing and all the tremendous, wonderful things you've done for us. Thank you for our families and friends and loved ones and all of those that are connected to us, our neighbors, even our enemies. And Father, we want you to just delight yourselves in us, that we may delight ourselves in you. And Lord, we know that you have many blessings for those that love you, and that the eye have not seen nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of men, things that you have prepared for those that love you. So we give you the glory, God, today, and ask that you will rule in the affairs of men, in our government, in our churches, and abroad, in all the world, Lord. Rule in the affairs of men, God. Change the order of injustice, God. Change the order of wickedness, God, and bring forth your righteous judgments in the earth. We give you the glory, the praise, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And again, thank all of you for tuning into the broadcast. We're talking about the kingdom of the world. We want to begin in the book of Matthew, chapter 5. And we want to look at scripture as it pertains to kingdom of the world. Other scriptures relate the kingdom of the world to the kingdom of darkness. And in fact, that is exactly what it is, because the kingdom of the world belongs to Satan. It is darkness that resides within the earth. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 4 instead of 5. But the kingdom of the world is full of evil. It's full of the devil and all that brings death. There's nothing good in the kingdom of the world. Nothing. And God wants us as saints to be aware of the danger of entering the kingdom of the world, of loving the world, being a part of the world. That's why scriptures in Matthew 16:26 says, "What will it profit a man if he gains the world and yet lose his soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul?" We must understand that what is really happening in the kingdom of the world. There's a lot of wickedness and things that transpire in the kingdom of the world, in the kingdom of darkness. And on a high level, in a high scale, in the political arena, in injustice, in judiciary systems, in law enforcement, in our government, in the White House, in any establishment of corporation and business, there's a lot of evil that goes on in the kingdom of the world. And the problem with the kingdom of the world is because of the injustice, it's because of the evil that is in people's heart where they work and walk evil against one another. and they desire to consume the lust of the world in the pride of life, in the lust of gaining material possessions in an evil way. The world cares nothing for godliness and righteousness and holiness. Neither do they care for those that are orphaned or widowed or those are distressed and in dire need. That's why God hates the kingdom of the world. That's why he has distinguished the kingdom of heaven from kingdom of the world. There's a lot of evil powers that are warped behind closed doors in great and big establishments. And that's why God have the righteous saints, those that have given their life to the Lord and are saved, and he gives them the ability to use their gift of intellectual knowledge and wisdom and go forth into these various areas of the kingdom of the world and these establishment and judiciary system again, corporations and businesses and churches as well. Some churches are operating out of the spirit of the world. It's all about the game. So I have people that are righteous, that are holy, to go in there and expose something or bring it down. Bring it down. And sometimes some people that may think that they're doing God a favor and exposing things are really into it for themselves to consume it upon their own flesh. They want it. But when we know that the kingdom of heaven, the Bible says the kingdom of heaven is consists of righteousness, holiness, love, peace, joy. That's why we are different from the kingdom of the world, because we're not after what the world can offer us. So we look here at Matthew chapter 4, and we want to, for the sake of time, start at verse 8, because for the sake of time, we know many of you, of course, that are familiar with scriptures knew that Satan took Jesus on a high mountain, on a pinnacle. Now, we're going to have to start at verse 1 then, because we may have new converts, of course, on the line. We want you to get a good understanding. But let's look at Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Let's just start at verse 1. And I'm sure God will bless us to get all of the other scriptures in, because we're going to go to Revelation, to our key scriptures. But it says here, then was Jesus led up spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now, this scripture let us know as well how Satan tempts us and desires to sift us like wheat, or desire to tempt us with the things of the world, the lust of all that appeases our flesh to have, to be. You know, the flesh is attracted to the world. That's just how we're made. We've been born in sin and shaped in iniquity. It's just the flesh has the world inside of us. That's why the Bible says that the flesh is image against God. And in no wise can it please God, because our flesh desire what is not good for us. So the devil takes us as well to show us the world. He takes us to a pinnacle before we're saved. Even now, you know, that struggle is the spirit and the flesh. The enemy wants us to desire the world. That's why God has given us so many scriptures that will help us to walk in spirit and not walk in the flesh. We have to break down the spirit, the flesh, the word and spirit and prayer, and being God to help us get there. So here again, Matthew 4, verse 1, then Jesus was led up of the spirit of the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 4 days and 4 nights, he afterwards hungry. He was hungry. He was weak. He had a place in his life here when he walked the earth, being fully God, being fully human, so that he can identify, be in touch, and know how we feel and what we go through. That's why he's our great high priest, because he's already been tempted in all areas. He knows what it feels like to be hungry, to have a need, to be tempted. If Jesus didn't go through this, he wouldn't be able to identify with us. So he knows. That's why he's our great high priest and gives us that grace and tells us his grace is sufficient, because he knows that he have overcome the world, and he said that we can too. Be of good courage. I've overcome the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So he was fasting for these 40 days and 40 nights. And afterwards he was hungry. Verse 3 says, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if you be the Son of God, command these stones to be made of bread. Because the flesh have a tendency to make sure that it has what it needs to have. And any kind of way it can get it, that's the way, you know, the flesh will try to get it. And so when you cross the boundary and you've gone too far to the left, try to get the things that you really need in life, it produces nothing but trouble. That's why God said, be still and know that I am God. And that he will provide, because see, the flesh wants what it needs. And then see, we have to learn to wait on God. But look what Jesus told him. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That God will take care of you, that God will provide for you. So we don't need to be running. God is not going to let you go hungry. We don't need to go out here to do everything in the book to make a way so we can have bread. Because scripture says, as the Bible declares here, that man don't live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And you know what the word is that proceeds out of the mouth of God? He said, never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging for bread. Like, God is not going to let you beg for bread. You may have to go and ask for something, but God is not going to let you beg for bread if you belong to him. You have to beg. But if you're hungry, it's a time for fasting. And God's going to open up that door and send a raven, send somebody to feed you, to give you and your family what you need. You will never, ever be lacking in anything. Because a lot of these things are tests, just like Jesus went through. So verse 5 says, but then the devil took him up into holy city and setteth him on a high pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning you, and in their hands shall they bear you up, lest at any time you dash your foot against a stone. Now he's really tempting Jesus. And see, one thing about the devil, he does know the word, but he can't live the word. Because, yes, this is a prophetic messianic scripture that he's proclaiming here, that he will give his angels charge over him. That's in the book of Psalms. So he's using scriptures that Jesus, that God had already promised when the Messiah comes, this is what's going to happen, that Jesus will be delivered up. He will not dash his feet against the stone because the angels are going to deliver him at all time, and that is exactly what happened. So Satan used those scriptures against him. So sometimes the world, the devil, will use the scriptures against us. If your God be God, then do this, then do that. Show us a sign. Do this. You know, people ask for a sign. They ask Jesus for a sign. He don't have to prove nothing to the world. You know who God is. You don't have to make people feel like just because you in a situation or you in a certain circumstances, you're going through certain circumstances, that your God is not this, or where is your God, why are you going through this? No, you don't have to worry about that. Because, see, God will prove himself. We don't have to prove anything to the world. We know who God is. Let them see us go through. Let them see us endure whatever it is. Some people going through some sickness. To be your test, just to wait for God to heal you. How would you know that he's a healer if you never have gone through any sickness? How would you know that God is a deliverer if you never need anything to be delivered from? How would you know that he's a provider if you never needed anything? So the world would never have anything on God. So he didn't give in to Satan. Look what he said in verse 7. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Verse 8. This is the scripture we want to start at. Again, the devil took him into exceedingly high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. See, the kingdoms of the world is having all that you desire, never wanting for anything, having the power of evil forces where you think you can command and the enemy can just be at your disposal to get anything you want, do anything you want. That's how the world lives. I mean, if you can just imagine the pinnacle, the exceeding pinnacle, the height of the world, parading in their pride, parading in their arrogance, parading in the lust of the flesh, in money, in everything you can imagine that's transpiring in the world behind closed doors, even our faith. I'm telling you, the world is so different from the kingdom of heaven. We're not a part of the kingdom of the world, and we don't go about the kingdom of the world. That's why we don't work either evil and warf evil against one another to get gain. One thing that God hates is when a person have an evil heart and they work evil and they conspire behind closed doors to get what they want, to manipulate others. But see, we of the kingdom of God have a spiritual discernment. God never lets the enemy get away with anything. They may think they have gotten away, but when years to come, even until their eternal destination, God will show them that you haven't gotten away. And it doesn't profit a man to gain the world. You never get away when you manipulate and scheme to do evil behind people's back. That's why the Bible says that the wisdom of the world is foolishness to God. They have a wisdom, but it's foolishness to God. Because the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil. Even our thoughts about one another and how we feel in our heart about one another is exposed to God. That's why the Holy Spirit is so sensitive in all of us to correct us for anything that we may have in our hearts, in our mind, in our thoughts. And we're on the potter's wheel to get those things out of us. So look again, verse 8. The devil took him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. What is the glory of them? The glory of the world. See, the world have a glory where they'll put you up there, but they'll spit you out at any time. That's why the kingdom of the world, they don't like anything about righteousness and Jesus Christ. They, you know, the world hates the name of Jesus. They'll use God because there are all kinds of people and situations where people identify themselves with God, but they don't want to distinguish the God that they believe in. See, that's why God sent Jesus. Let people distinguish the God that they believe in. That's why Jesus said, you know, don't be ashamed of me. If you're ashamed of him, then he will be ashamed of you on that great day when you stand before the Father. See, that's why Jesus is so important in the earth, because Jesus distinguishes the righteousness. We taught last couple weeks ago about Simeon, if you want to call him that, that prophesied about Jesus, the coming child. He prophesied to Mary, the mother of Jesus, that he would be a sign. He would be that sign that would just expose the heart of men. Because, see, at Jesus' name, you're either going to love him and love righteousness and truth, or either you're going to despise him and don't love righteousness and truth. So Jesus came to reveal the hearts of men. That's why some people, they hate the poor. They hate widows. They have no intention of doing anything to build up God's people. But one thing God says in Scripture is that when you help the poor, you lend to God. And many people don't understand that concept because it's in their flesh to desire everything for themselves. But we pray that God bring people out of the world into the marvelous light, into the kingdom of heaven, so that they can really understand and see what the kingdom of heaven is all about, what God is really all about. Many people have testified to it. Those on the high pinnacle of the world, when God brought them to a place, there was a lady that said she had all of the money. She had all of the finery things of life. And it wasn't anything that she didn't have materialistic-wise that brought her to Christ. But it was the emptiness in her heart, in her soul, in her spirit, that none of those things was giving her satisfaction and peace, that her mind was troubled, her spirit, fear, the anxiety of the world that grips you. That's why the Bible says that the rich cannot sleep because they're always worried about their money. When God brings us and blesses us and give us all that we need to be able to help in society, that's what we should do. That's why he told Moses to tell the people that when God bless you, to open your hand wide to give, because none of it belongs to us. It all belongs to God. And he wants us to be able to feel his heart and his spirit. We talked about the true fast a couple of weeks ago. Here's the true fast that he's given us. The true fast is to be able to reach out to help someone else. So we're talking about the kingdoms of the world. So when he took him on the top pinnacle and showed him all these things and showed him the glory of the world, look with verse 9, and Jesus said unto him, all these things will I, this is what Satan said to Jesus, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. And that is what the world want us to do, worship Satan. Some people sell their souls out to Satan. They sell their souls out to Satan for gain, for materialistic things, to have, to show people that they made it, the pride of life. They sell their souls out. Be surprised what many people do behind closed doors to be successful. They compromise with the devil. But look what Jesus said here in verse 10. Then said Jesus to him, get you behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord God, and him only shall you serve. So you always got to have a scripture in your mind. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit brings back all things to our remembrance. You always have to come back with the word to get Satan off of you. So that's why Jesus told him again in verse 10, then Jesus said unto him, get you behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall thou serve. And look what verse 11 said, then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. See, now you have to understand that you're going to go through these tests in life. Satan is going to try to test your mind in the very vulnerable and weak moments of your life. But God sent angels, ministering angels, to minister unto you. And again, God brings his remembrance, the remembrance of his word, back to us so that we can be strengthened. Now let's go to Revelation right here real quick. And let's go to chapter 11. Because now we're going to talk about the final hour, the final hours of this world, the judgment day that God has set aside reserved for Satan and the world. See, the world, the people in the world, that's why God wants everyone to be saved. They don't really realize and understand that the world is vanishing away, that the world is going to be consumed with fire, that this world will not last forever, that Christ indeed have a plan. And the kingdom of the world will become nothing. So as we look here, and the trumpets and the angels begin to sound the alarm to the world. See, we have to understand that God is a God of righteousness. And the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. God owns it all. But it's that delegated part of the world that God has left into the administration of Satan, to rule in evil so that God can determine who's righteous by choosing him or by choosing the world. God left it up to us. So we are people, when we become born again and we accept Jesus Christ, we're created to worship him. We're born again to show forth the praises of him that has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. So Revelation chapter 11, let's look at verse 14 right here. Let's start at verse 14, but key scriptures is going to be in verse 15. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh. Verse 15 now. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah. Let's look at verse 16. We just can't pass up that. And 4 and 20. Elders which sat before God on their seats, fell on their faces, and worshiped God, saying, we have give thanks, O Lord. Saying, we give thanks, O Lord Almighty, God Almighty, which are, which was, and which are to come, because thou hast taken to thee your great power and has reigned. Taken to thee your great power has reigned over the kingdoms of the world. I want to read that again. Basically, we're going to read it in the English version. And the 24 elders, which sat before God on their seats, fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thanks to thee, O Lord God Almighty, which are, which was, and are to come, because thou hast taken to thee your great power and has reigned. And the nations were angry, and the wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou should give reward unto your servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear your name, small and great, and should destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of the testament. And there were lightning and the voices of and thundering and earthquake and great hail. These are the things that's going to happen. I want to stick to that key verse right here in verse 15. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. I want to stick with that key scripture right there. And the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ. And he to reign forever and ever, because it says that he have given Jesus Christ all power in heaven and in earth, and Christ will rule. You know, when Satan's head is crushed, Christ will rule. He's ruling and reigning now in our hearts here in the earth. But it's coming that time when all of the powers of darkness and evil that are going on, because, you know, we wonder, some people wonder why God let so many things go on and happen. And we all have those thoughts sometimes. Well, wonder what God allowed to happen to us. Why did he allow this to happen? You know, there's a reason. There are those thoughts. And sometimes he reveals them and sometimes he don't. But you know what? God again is establishing his righteousness. And he is gathering the elect of those that love him, the elect of those that's going to trust him all the way to eternity. We have to be spiritual minded, heavenly minded, set our affections on things above and not on things of the earth. We're going to look at a couple of scriptures here as our time. We're getting our prompts. So, scriptures, time is definitely running out. Let's look at some scriptures. Because the Bible tells us to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The Bible says that if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. The love of the Father is not in us. Let's look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. And he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The love of the Father is not in the person that loves the world. Now, God gives us the desires of our heart. He gives us things that makes us happy and joyful with our families. But there's a difference when you pursue the world. That's why the Bible says that we are not to pursue wealth, because the Bible says that God knows how to bless those that love him, his anointed. Now to provide for you, you don't have to do evil to bring somebody down, speak evil to bring somebody down or hinder them from receiving. You know, all that stuff God sees. We just have to Be normal in the spirit of God. Focus on your blessings and what he's doing in your life. Pray for others. That's why it's good to pray for your enemies, because that tells that your heart is turning from evil to delusion, desiring somebody's downfall. God sees all of that. Because all in all, God wants us to love people, even the enemies that are so wrong and evil. Why? Because they know not what they do. Like they are in a miserable, pitiful state. Even all the hatred that's going on in the world, all of the prejudice that's going on in the world, they are so miserable, like they don't know the Lord. They need a dose of the Holy Ghost. They need God. They need to be loved. And that's why they're acting out, and that's why they do what they do. The things that are going on in our White House right now, God sees the evil, the grasping for power, the desperation for identity. You want to be totally in control. You want to leave a legacy of power, of evil, that you were the one. And it's not about that. God needs someone to rule in righteousness in the White House. God needs someone to rule in righteousness in the church. God needs someone to rule righteousness in that corporation, on your job. Not with an iron fist. You can ask Solomon about that. Rehoboam, Solomon about that. The covenant that God had promised, and, you know, even in Moses' time, that there should not be hard labor upon his people. Then when during Rehoboam's reign, they consulted with the younger crew to find out what to do with these people. And God had told them, don't tax them hard. Let not taxation be hard upon God's people. But the young people these days, of course, it was a new generation. They didn't care about the old covenant of God and the words that God spoke. They wanted an iron fist. They wanted to rule them to an iron fist. And those are the things that rend the kingdom from them toward the kingdom in half. And that's what happens. That's why we're divided in this nation, because there are people that are in leadership that wants to rule with the iron fist over God's people, and he's not going to have it. So that's why there's disorder, and there's frustration and confusion in leadership. In any nation, not just America, in any nation. Because evil is trying to reign. It's trying to reign over righteousness, but it can't, because God is the overthrower. God is the overthrower. You would never be able to overthrow the righteousness of God in his people. You would never be able to outdo the power of God in his anointed saints. He will allow some things for chastisement. He will allow some things for suffering to identify with him. He will allow some things in tribulation to strengthen you and make you strong, but he will never allow wickedness to dominate the righteousness of his people. He will never allow any of that. When God is quiet, he's working something. The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ one day. Hallelujah. He's taking it all away. That's why the Bible says to us in Romans 12 and 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. He says that you will be able to discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. James 1:27 says, pure and undefiled religion before our God and Father is this, to care for orphans, widows, in their distress, to keep ourselves from being polluted by the world. That's why the Bible says in James 1:4, you adulterers, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Therefore, whoever chooses to be a friend of the world renders himself an enemy of God. Can't be friends with the world. Can't want friends because they have all the money and they can give you all kinds of stuff. Can't turn your eyes from righteousness and be friends with the world, because they have the power. You know, some people do that. Some people disregard other people because they don't have much, or they don't have the power, or who they are, where they came from. But they associate, just like Peter did, and God had to correct him, they associate with those that they want to associate with, they feel that they're on their level. That's why the Bible said, do not, you know, give regard to those that are high-minded. But we need to consent to those of low estate, low in life. When you think that you're doing something because you're with a crowd or set of people because they're on your level, you are displeasing to God, because that's a form of pride. When you get to know Jesus, you will know that he is lowly, humble in heart. You have to bring yourself on that level. That's why God uses the least likely, such as myself. Because the least likely understand what it means to be low, to be humble. And if you're not, then he brings you to that place. He uses the least likely. If you think that you qualify to do God's work, you have just disqualified yourself. You just disqualified yourself from being and doing anything for God, because it is God that has called us and equipped us to do of his good pleasures. Every person that God has called in the Bible never felt they were qualified. So we distinguish in the kingdoms of the world versus the kingdom of God. The kingdom of the world have an attitude as well, and it's prideful, and it has lust. And it can be and get inside of all of us. But that's why we have to stay on the potter's wheel. So we look at another scripture here. In Daniel 7, chapter 14 says, and to him was given dominion. Twice this is talking about. Glory and a kingdom, that all the people, nations of men, every language might serve him. His dominion is everlasting. Dominion which will not pass away. And his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. God's kingdom will never be destroyed. God's kingdom will never be destroyed. And we have to elevate our minds, our spirit, our hearts to that higher dimension to know who we serve, what God is doing, his spirit that's ruling and reigning in the earth. Thy will be done, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Rule God in righteousness in the earth. We have to pray those prayers for God to rule in righteousness in the earth, in our lives, situations. You have to pray over your family, over your life, over everything that concerns you, that God will rule in righteousness, that he'll purge out the evil, bring down the high places in your life, and rule in righteousness. His kingdom come in your house, in your home, in your business, in your ministry, everything, that God may rule in righteousness. Hallelujah. Again, Daniel 7:27, then the city, the dominion and the greatness of all the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be given to the people of the saints, of the highest one, of the most high. His kingdoms will be everlasting kingdoms, and all the dominions will serve and obey. Hallelujah. That's what scripture talks about, that every knee shall bow, every eye is going to see him, every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. God is not slain. He has a plan, and he's bringing it to full fruition. In the dispensation of time throughout the Bible, he has fulfilled every word and prophecy of what he's going to do, and there's still many more that is to come, and we pray that we live to see it. If we don't, we still are blessed with the Lord on an individual basis if he comes for us. But if we live to see this wonderful rapture, hallelujah, we will see something glorious and magnificent. Hallelujah. We praise God for his word. Hallelujah. That he has given us the understanding of the kingdoms of the world, that he's bringing to nothing, and he's ruling and reigning. So God bless you. Thanks so much for tuning in. And until next time, I'm Linda Shula, the evangelist for the hour. Have a wonderful day.